Our scripture today is coming from Exodus 7:16. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn there, whether if you got your phone, you can look there, or iPad, whatever the case might be. It simply says this from Exodus 7:16. It says, "Then say to him," and this is, give you the backdrop, this is Moses. And Moses is going to Pharaoh. And this is a little different than you perhaps would see on, a little different than you would see with Charlton Heston and the Ten Commandments. But this is where part of that passage comes from. It says, then say to him, talking about Pharaoh, "The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to say to you," help me out, "let my people go, so that they may worship me in the wilderness. But until now, you've not listened." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you, God, for doing something so awesome in us. We want to hear your word. Someone came with a strong desire, putting a demand upon the Spirit. So speak to us, and we count it done in Jesus' name. We say amen. Put your hands together for him one more time. He is God. He is God. He is God. Hallelujah. We've been talking about freedom for the past month, and it's a blessing to operate in freedom. And I've had some amazing, powerful messages, and we thank those speakers for sharing them with us. We recognize that when we look at freedom, there are several different aspects of freedom, And I want to talk about today the reason for freedom. Say it with me, the reason for freedom. So oftentimes, you know, we talk about freedom. I want to be set free. But then after you're set free, then what? When when Israel came across the Red Sea, they had been in captivity for some number of years, some say 400. Some say 430, but it was several hundred years. And the truth be known is that there was no war fought to put them in captivity. Check this out. I always used to wonder about this. There was no war to put them in captivity. You understand that earlier this month, Joseph was the one that his parents and his family came there. But what happened is it got pretty comfortable. How many of y'all know that it can be pretty comfortable just to sit and have not have to worry about very many things? And they got comfortable there. And they got comfortable too long. And the next generation, they got comfortable in slavery. I don't want to ever get comfortable in slavery. Can I get a witness? It's a word all by itself. I don't want to get comfortable in slavery. That might be where I am right now, but that's not my destination. That's not my destination. And if I was to give you a pop quiz, just a short one today, just ask a question. You know, what was the purpose of God delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt? And if some of you all might shout, just give me a shout. What might it be? Okay. Somebody's saying, y'all mumbling, so I'll go on and put a thing out there. All right. Some said they needed to get out of oppression, and some said they were in suffering, and some say, well, you know what? They were on their way to that place called the Promised Land, and some said milk and honey, and many of you all would be right to a degree. But we're going to talk about the reason, because I really believe that God set us free for a reason. All of us, not just them, all of us for a reason. When I look at in the passage of Luke, the 8th chapter, the 35th verse, it was a demon-possessed man, and they called him the demoniac. In fact, he would break chains asunder. He was unclothed, and he was in the graveyard, in the tomb. Can you imagine that type of lifestyle? But the people were fairly comfortable with it, and I'll tell you why. Because the Bible says in Luke 8:35, it says, "Then they went out to see what had happened," talking about what had happened with Jesus and this guy. And it came to Jesus, and they found the man whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And look what the next passage says. And they were afraid. Interesting. They wasn't afraid when he was crazy. They wasn't afraid when he was naked. They weren't afraid when he was cutting himself. But Jesus cast a demon out, and they guess, oh! I'm like wondering, what's up with this picture? But here's the part I want to share with you. He got set free, and the first thing that the scripture tells us that the demons departed him, very next sentence says this, and he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Right after he got set free, he drew closer to Jesus. And then after that, the scripture let us know that not only did he draw closer to Jesus, but then he wanted to go with Jesus. Jesus, can I go with you? And what does Jesus tell him? He tells him that he tells him that you can't go with me, but here's what you can do. You can go back and tell others. And I know they're a little bit excited up there, but do me a favor if you will. That would just help us out, just so people down here don't get distracted. Yeah, so he tells them, he says, go back and talk to the whole city, your house first, start with them. And then he says, tell them the things that God has done for you. Proclaim it to the whole city, the great things that God has done. Here's what I want you to know, that he got set free. He didn't just sit there and say, okay, now it's time for the American dream. He said, I got set free, now I can just chill out and cross my legs. He got set free, and the first thing he does is he worships God, falls at the feet of Jesus and says, you know, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then not only that, he says, now let me tell somebody else. How many of you all, let me ask a question, have been set free? How many know you're set free for a reason? And that reason is not to just say, well, now that I'm free, I'm good, waiting till Jesus comes. I'm set free, I'm gonna get a job now, got a house, got a car, I'm good now. Look at the lepers, 10 lepers, and follow me here, set free for a reason. The lepers were calling out to Jesus from afar. And there's just a pattern of this. They're calling out, and they were like saying, hey, Jesus, Jesus, we see you over there. We believe there's hope. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. And Jesus just, he doesn't even go over there, lay hands, touch them, anything. He just says from a distance back to them, go show yourself to the priest. They knew that meant that if Jesus sent them to show themselves to the priest, do you recognize that they were saying that when you get there, you're going to be healed because the priest had to judge your healing and verify, validate that you were healed. So they go, and as they went, they're healed. They're delivered from this disease. They're delivered from this disease. They no longer, they're set free from leprosy. And the Bible says that this one Samaritan comes back, and he doesn't just receive his healing and his deliverance. This, he drops to his feet again and begins to worship God in the presence of Jesus Christ. And he says, I just want to say thank you. I just want to tell you thank you. Because, you know, I used to be messed up. I used to be in this condition of leprosy. But look at me now. And I thank you. I thank God for healing me and setting me free. You know what Jesus says to him? He received it, but then he says something. He says, well, where are the other nine? Sometimes I think today that we need to recognize that just because he's done something for us, we can't just say, now that I'm healed, set free, and delivered, I'm good. But we've got to tell him thank you and then tell somebody else about him. Are you with me today? Come on, bless him real big in the house. I'm moving on. That passage that I shared with you earlier, and most people deliver it like this because it says that, you know, Charlton Heston, let me get it right. He's the one that would open his mouth real strong and would say in the Ten Commandments, say, let my people go. But he stopped there. He didn't say the rest of the passage. The rest of the passage says, let my people go, and I like the rest, so they may worship me in the wilderness. So the reason, and let me give you this next point, God's primary reason for delivering Israel was not to give them the promised land, milk, honey, and money. It wasn't. That's not the primary reason. Even though I believe that some of the other stuff goes with it, that was not the primary reason. Are y'all with me today? Am I getting quiet in the milk, honey, and money section? I wanted to leave Egypt so I could get the milk, honey, and the money. I'm telling you, folk. And some say milk, money, and the honeys. Can I let you know, folks, when I read this passage, God just opened some things up to me. And I was like, God, I hadn't read it like that before. Let's read it one more time. He says, let my people go. Why? So that they may what? Worship in the wilderness. Now, let me check. I want you to check this out. His first stop wasn't even the promised land. He didn't say that they may worship me in the promised land. Where did he say? Oh, so you can worship him in the wilderness. But sometimes you're in a spot, in a location that hinders you and hampers you, Egypt, and the influence of Egypt is very strong. You need to get out of there just so you can be in a wilderness experience, so you can just hear from me. Because before I take you to the promised land, I got to take you to the wilderness. And you've got to worship, because if you don't focus your attention on me before you get to the promised land, you're going to forget all about me. Some of us right now are in a wilderness experience. And God wants to get you to a place of him. And why would Moses take the people to the wilderness where he heard from God? And took him to the foot of the hills of Sinai, Mount Sinai. Why Mount Sinai? Because that's where Moses heard from God. Moses, take off your shoes for the ground that you stand, the holy ground. Who is that? Can you imagine a burning bush talking to you? You don't forget that. You want to take the people you lead. Come on, let me show you where I met God. Right down here. The people knew Moses. God, of course, knew Moses. Moses knew God well, but the people didn't really know God. I'm going to preach today whether you say amen or not. He says, let my people go so that they may worship me in the wilderness. Now, let me share this with you. We're looking in Deuteronomy. And I get it, because I listen to Fred Price, too. He's one of my favorite preachers coming up, no doubt. I like him, man. He's a good teacher, not a hooper and a squaller and slider and slipper, nothing like that, no handkerchiefs. He just taught the word. And Deuteronomy 8, 7 through 18, we won't read it all, but this is what the word is coming. And a lot of times, and I'm going to share this with you, and I pray that you grasp it, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, fountains and springs, flows out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, olive oil, and there you go with your honey. A land which you will eat bread without scarcity, you'll have plenty of it, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones of iron, they've got plenty of iron out of the hills, you can dig copper. And he goes on down, and when you've eaten your full, he says, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he's given you. Look at that 11th verse, help me out. It says, beware that you don't forget the Lord. There are more than 10 different warnings in this passage. About when you get here, don't forget. When you get here, don't forget. Be careful. Don't forget my commandment. And tell you what, folks, I hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us today, even America today, saying, I've blessed you, I've opened doors, I've taken you to a good land, and I just don't want you to forget me. I just don't want you to forget me. I've opened doors, I've made ways, I've given you, and it's my pleasure to give it to you. Just don't forget me. Why would he take so much time saying, I have all this for you, all this is yours, and then he goes down. Oh, I love this other passage where he says, least when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful homes, he wants all that. He wants you to dwell in them, and a herd of flock that I multiply with silver and gold, multiply that. And he's talking about, he's talking about just putting his blessings upon you. All these blessings shall come upon you. And he says, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Now, he goes on, and I'm going to move on and just know that this is a word that I have to share. So the American church at large has focused on what they can get instead of focusing on the giver and upon intimacy and intimate fellowship with the giver. Oh, yeah. Thank God for the two or three pitter-pats. So it went over so well, I'm going to say it again. The American church at large has focused on what we can get instead of focusing on the giver of all good things and an intimate relationship with him. We focused on what we can get. And we've even erroneously, help me, Holy Spirit, erroneously preached, come to God because you can get stuff. When did Jesus ever preach, come to him because you can get stuff? I'm stuffed like, you can be better off here, you can get this. No. That was never, no. Jesus loves us, and he wants us to experience that love, and he provides for us. But he wants us to seek him and not his hand. Help me, Holy Spirit. This is not in my notes, but one of our sons, DC and Gerard's son, Trey, was working in the office this week. He let me know. He says, "Hey, Pastor, I think I'm got to make some decisions." I was like, "Okay, what is?" Because he's working here part time, and he says, "Well, I'm working at my job. I won't say the job, but he says they want me to work Sundays." And I said, okay, I understand. He says, I don't want to work Sundays. I don't want to miss church. And I said, well, wow. So I said, we're going to try to work something out. He said, I'm thinking about letting them know that I'm giving them my notice. I was like, and God began to speak to me. He said, boy, you put him to work on when, so he won't miss not one day, not one dime, not one hour. Because he's committed to the things of God. I want to be in God's presence. I don't want anything to hinder me. When you hear people with a heart that says, I want God and I'm not as concerned about the stuff, can I let you know when you serve God, the stuff will come? When you serve God with your whole heart, the stuff will come? If you really believe that, give him praise. And even if the stuff don't come, what is life but a vapor? We're only here for a short while. 60, 70 years, we're going to live in eternity forever. Come on, somebody. We focus sometimes too long on what we see down here. Well, I feel a preach coming on. Somebody give him a praise in this house. Hallelujah. So let me share this. Hallelujah. God's primary reason for delivering Israel was not to give them, one more time, the promised land, milk, honey, and money, the American dream, but it was that to bring them closer. And this passage comes to me. It says, and this is, let me just give this point to you, and I'll build on it. God sets us free to bring us to a more intimate relationship with him. That's why it sets us free. Let me give you a scripture. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the book of Exodus 19, you still tracking true? I mean, that means y'all still follow me. Yeah. Exodus 19:3-6. And it says, and Moses went up to God, and this was like 3 months after they had left Egypt. And the Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians. And look what he says, and how I bore you on what? Eagle's wings, and brought you who? So in other words, it wasn't to send you to the promised land. It was to bring you to me. Man, if I could preach this like I feel it. So many times people are looking to do this. This is where my heart is. I'm going hard after this. I'm going hard after this. If I could get over this neighborhood or this area, if I could just get this amount of money. And God is saying, that is not what it's about. It's always about bringing you unto myself. Oh, God, I feel your anointing. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If I could just share this with you, I brought you out of bondage. He brought me out of religion to bring me unto himself. He brought us out of drugs, not just to get a job, not just to have a good income, to get a house, but I brought you unto myself. Are you with me today? I brought you out of jail, out of prison. Why? Just so you can say I'm out now? No, I brought you to myself. You may be in a wilderness experience, but God is bringing you to himself because nothing else will satisfy. Nothing else will satisfy. You can look for all over the world. Here's what God's word says. Abraham was saying, well, God, you promised me a son. You promised me a son, you know, and my servant, he's got a son, and I don't have a son. And God says, this is what he says, I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. In other words, if you find me, you got everything else. Everything else. Let me give a slight illustration. And I know I'm probably going to get in trouble already. I already know. Sisters be getting me after church, but that's okay. I love you anyway. That's why I'm prefacing this. So when Jita and I were dating, you know, in our teens, you know, in my head, I'm thinking that, you know, I want to bless her, and I got some stuff, a house, a car. I'm already working because, the older women be telling these younger girls, you know, you want somebody with a job. I know they're whispering in her ear, he got a good job. He got a house. And so, I mean, talking that kind of stuff, you know. And, but if she, the only reason that she was interested in me, and I know in this day and time, man, folks, they going for somebody that's got something. He's getting quiet in this house. Oh yeah, he broke. You know, don't date him. What? You can do bad all by yourself. Brothers, can I get an amen? They don't want no broke. I'm just saying. Moving on. I'm about to get on a sidetrack. Okay. Here we go. I ain't saying she a gold digger. I ain't saying that. But here's what I am saying. That when she approaches and her focus is on what she can get, I'm repulsed. I'm standoffish because so many people, all they want to do is try to get what they can from you. But because she was okay with going to Brown's Chicken in a hoopty, Y'all hear my heart? Because she was okay with somebody that had an afro, but it wasn't, I didn't go to the barber that cost so much money, I just, you know, cut it myself. She was okay with it. I didn't have the greatest of everything, but she was less concerned about the stuff and more concerned about my heart and love, what was on the inside of me. Are you with me today? When we as a church begin to go so hard after God, could care less about the stuff. If we go so hard after God, say, God, I just love you with all my heart. It's going to make all the difference, because when I finally did get something, you think I held anything back from Jesus? What you want, G? I got you. Where you want to shop? Let's roll. Do this. You think God won't hook you up if you love him with your whole heart? So we need to go hard after him. No good thing would he withhold from you. Not one. He's God. Look what he says. I'm about to wrap this up, but man, something happened on the inside of me when I was reading this. Here's what he said. It's almost like somebody sharing their heart that's full of love for a people, and he actually is. He began to share with them. He says, listen, the earth belongs to me. The whole earth is mine. So in other words, if I want to bless you, I can. You're in a covenant with the blesser. Don't run after the blessings. Run after the blesser. Because when you get the blesser, you got the blessing. Woo! He said, I bore you on eagle's wings. Hallelujah. Y'all feeling this? So this message is to somebody today. You've been looking for stuff, and God says, nah, stop running after this stuff. Run after me. You'll have all the stuff. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm okay. So he says, he bore you on eagle's wings. So I had to check it out. So, Lord, what does that mean? I bore you on eagle's wings. So I had to do a little bit of study on eagle's wings. So I checked it out, and eagle is a bird of prey which spans sometimes almost 8 feet. They can weigh, you know, 10, 12 pounds, but they can pick up almost twice their weight. They soar. They even, when storms come, many birds hide. Eagles, they go toward the storm. Not only do they go toward the storm, but they're not afraid of the storm. They go into the storm and sometimes go above the storm. They can see the storm for a distance. They can actually see some 2 miles ahead, out ahead. That's a long way. Some eagles can fly as fast as 200 miles an hour. I was like, saying, God, you bore us on eagle's wings. How does that correlate, Lord? Help me out with that. Well, the closest experience I can find or think about is when we were in Chicago. Jita and I were there, and a couple of guys, several of them actually, they came over to us and said, came over to me actually, and said, how you doing, sir? I said, I'm fine. He said, how would you like to go skydiving? I didn't even know him. Go skydiving? So yeah, well, you go up 14,000 feet, we give you a short training, you know, and then we basically push you out of a plane. I looked at Jita, she looked at me, she said, I'm not going. I don't know what was inside of me, but someone said, you need to go. I said, sign me up. She said, you don't even know them. And I didn't. And they looked kind of like neo-hippies, you know. And I said, I want to go. How much does it cost? He said, no cost. We'll just for the experience, we'll take you up there. We tried to get people to volunteer. I said, this really sounds strange. I said, well, so where do we go? Where do we sign up? And they put me in a van, and Jesus said, wait, I'm going with you. I'm not jumping, but I'm going with you. So she goes in me, it's a van and down in the dungeon-like thing, and my sons and one is, where are you going? Dad, mom just texted and said, you all with somebody you don't know and you're going to jump out of a plane. I said, yeah, that's about right. So we go through the training and we get there, and the guy's okay, I said, this looks legit, and get to the aircraft, and they tell us what we should expect, and we get inside the plane, and after our training, we have all of our gear on, and we soar to the heights above birds and above all kind of things. We're up in a high place. And as we're preparing to get out, and I'm seeing the doors open, and I see life from a whole perspective that I've never seen before. To open the door and see so many amazing things. I mean, different lakes and ponds and things. I mean, just, it's like, wow, it's like, God, one day I'm going to be soaring. And then it comes my turn, and Jita and I are there, and we move closer to the door. And one thing I'm thinking, you know, I'm saying, that's a long ways down. And I think to myself, this would be a good time to say, ladies first. But I didn't say ladies first. But I went on and pushed off. And the guys behind me, because we're in tandem, and as I was flying 1,400 feet, about 120 miles per hour, I could see what it was like to kind of be on eagle's wings, just to fly, and fear would like to come, but I'm thinking, like, you in the air now, baby, ain't no need of being scared now. You might as well do this thing. Do this thing. Some of you all are in the air now. Ain't no looking back. You on eagle's wings. You might as well do this thing. Go on and do it with all your might. Live it to the full. God is for you. Live it to the full. Come on, let's bless him in this house. Hallelujah. Woo! How many of y'all feel freer? Shake off fear, no longer fear. God spoke to me and says, if you will go up in a plane with somebody you don't know, how much more ought you to fly with me? How many of you are ready to soar on eagle's wings? Unto him. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Bow your heads with me and close those eyes for a minute and just imagine yourself on eagle's wings, coming to him, because his whole purpose, don't forget, his whole purpose was to bring you back to himself. Got to do this altar call. Some of you all have been drifting, and he's saying, I've been calling you back to myself. I've been calling you, you've been running, you've been trying to get this, you've been trying to accomplish that, and he says, it's not working. He says, I set you free that you might worship me. I set you free that you might come back unto me. And I bore you on eagle's wings. Thank you, God. Above all the stuff, above all the mess, above all the trials, tribulations, tests, turbulent winds, I bore you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Even for some of the ones that have been making a decision, you gotta make a decision in your life, and yes, I gotta say it. Some was even including money and possessions and even people in your life. And you say, well, I need to go to that person, even if it means leaving God. Oh, no, God forbid. He is the one that set you free. He's the one that brought you to this place. He's the one that we could come running to. And I guarantee you, he will never leave you, never forsake you, always be there for you. I think back 30 years and I'm saying, God, you brought us this far and you'll take us the rest of the way. We love you. and it's been worth the trip, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. There's someone that says, I need to rededicate my life. If you're here today, join me on the altar. We want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. There's someone else that says, Pastor, you know, I've got to make some decisions, and I really don't want to make the wrong decision. I want to honor God in my decisions. You can join me on the altar as well, and those altar workers are coming as well. There's another individual that you've been fighting in your heart between God and the world. Which way am I going to go? And some others are going to be going to college, and God is saying, you know, I want you. You're what I want. I want you. You're what I want, and I'm what you need more than anything else in the world, more than anything else. There's even a family that's been drifting. You don't even worship like you used to. And I'm going to say it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You don't even attend church like you used to. Says there's no need. I'll just watch on TV. But everything else becomes a greater importance. God is calling us back unto himself. He's calling us back into himself. He's calling this church back into himself. Not running, not worried about this or that. No, I'm calling you to myself. Everything else will be dealt with. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And you can come now. Don't look around, but just come on. I know God wants us to pray with you. God wants you to stand in agreement with somebody. Put your hands together even as they're getting ready to come now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I'm going to pray, and I want us even as a church to draw closer to him. Are y'all with me today? Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you, Lord, for hearing your voice. Thank you for giving us a warning. Thank you, God, that we will hear your word, not just with our ears, but with our hearts. We just won't be hearers only, but we're going to be doers of your word in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, for doing exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask, think, or imagine. I thank you, God, for an intimate relationship with you, God. I thank you, God, for how we used to run after you. There's a kindling again of that fire, a fire burning on the inside. So, God, your will be done in our lives, God. We offer ourselves to you in the name of Jesus. Here are my hands, my feet, my mind. All that I am, it belongs to you, God. In the name of Jesus. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you in this place. So when I says, Pastor, I want to become a part of this church, you can come as well. If you want to make Abundant Faith Christian Center your home, you can do that. Others that want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can come as well. This is an amazing time to receive all that God has for you. Thank you, Jesus. And lastly, I see some people that relationships need to be restored. And what I mean by that is there's something in you that have pushed people away, even family members, and God's saying, I want to heal that even before I take you further. And God, we give you praise. Now, Lord, be with us as we leave this place with never your presence. Thank you, Lord, for setting us free for a reason. May we not only testify about your goodness, but may we also share your goodness with others in the name of Jesus. I thank you that we bring somebody with us next week, that we share the gospel with somebody. So, Father, may you be with us from this day forward. And we ask it in the matchless name of Jesus. And we say amen.